Amen. All right. Okay, I don't know what's up with this phone. My work phone won't turn on. Anyway. Maybe not. Today is March 13th, 2013. Tonight's message is titled, Who We Are. Part of the reason why we sang the worship song that we did. Because we are Christians. But we are those that seek the whole purpose of God in our lives, for our lives. Because of this, we continue to check our motives. We try to investigate, to be sure that they're pure and honest, to be sure that they're in agreement with God's will. Because that's what we want. We want God's will in our lives instead of our own. So we check all these things. We seek God in our lives and intend to cast aside our own desires, our own selfish desires in most cases. But when faced with a major decision in our lives, such as a new relationship or plans to make a sizable purchase, such as a car or house, we are always sure to go before the Lord and to ask, "Is this your will, Lord?" Would this honor Him? Would this glorify Him? So that we can make the best decision that we need to make, to make sure that it's of God's will and not our own will. We check all these things. A lot of times in our lives, there are some pretty big decisions that we need to make. And for those of us that seek God and seek to draw close to Him, we want His purposes to be played out, His plan for our life to be played out within it. So for that reason, we go to Him and we present all these things. We ask Him questions. We give it to the Lord in prayer. And we allow the time necessary to be able to receive those answers. We make sure that this is what God wants, that it goes according to His word, that it's going to glorify Him, that it's going to honor Him and not dishonor Him. Well, the idea is not to live a life of poverty. God doesn't want us to live in the most simplest means that we're just above the poverty level. I mean, you know, there are scriptures and there are messages that talk about having an abundance and having too much, especially in your storehouse. There are those in the Old Testament that were punished for that, for lack of a better word. But we're not going to get into that. But a lot of people do go into excess. Rather than having one car, they want three cars. Well, you know, you have to kind of weigh those things. And maybe you can afford three cars. I'm not trying to criticize anybody here. But we have to make sure that these things that we do glorify God. If you've got three cars, what else do you have stand in need of? See what I'm saying? So you have to find out that balance. You have to find that balance. And God doesn't want us to live in poverty. He doesn't want us to go hungry. He doesn't want us to give up all of our nice, all the nice things that we have. That's not His intent. But the idea is to seek Him first and to trust in Him for all these things. So it's not really that we give up things, possessions. It's more that we give up control of them. It's not that we don't make any decisions for ourselves because we're concerned about disobeying God. Or it's not that we don't continue to walk forward while we wait for the Lord. A lot of people get so caught up in fear of disobeying God that they forget that God instructs us to walk by faith and not by sight. So even though you're waiting for that important decision, an answer to the important decision, like to buy a new car or to buy a new house or start a new relationship, There are other things that can occupy your time while you're waiting for God to show you the way, while you're waiting for the Lord to give you that answer. You know, you may still have to get up and go to work every day, you know, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, is now the time to buy that new car? Is it within my budget? Is, you know, is my job stable enough? Is this, you know, is this the car that the Lord wants me to have? All these types of things. Well, you continue to walk forward, walking by faith and not by sight, trusting and knowing that God's going to give you the answers in His time. And a lot of times we make, even when we make the wrong decisions and we go ahead of God's will, rather than, you know, it's a two-way street. It could be, but you could get too far ahead or you could get too far behind. A lot of people, like I said, won't make that decision because they're too afraid of disobeying the Lord. So therefore, then they make no decision. Well, that's still a decision. And is that a good decision or is that a bad decision? That's between you and the Lord. Only you and the Lord can tell you that, show you that. But what this is mostly about is when it comes to those decisions, we give up control of them. We surrender it to the Lord and we wait for God to give us the answer. And that's because we seek the whole purpose of God in our lives. We want the Lord to lead and guide us and show us. You know, God wants us to show Him our faith and how we trust in Him. So therefore, we give it to the Lord and we continue to walk and do the things that need to be done. And when the time comes, the right time comes, God shows us the way to go. And He gives us the decision that we need. The Word says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of thy holy is, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So you have to start at the beginning. And you have that fear because you don't want to disobey God. When you have to understand that not with knowledge brings you that understanding, knowledge of the holy. Okay, so knowledge of God, because He is holy, we could say, gives us the understanding that we need when we need it. So when we give all that we have to the Lord and we trust Him, we can receive that calm assurance that He will give back to us what we need. You go to the Lord with a problem or a circumstance or a situation and you give it to Him, and He gives you what you need. You're giving up control of the situation. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this disobedient child any longer. Everything that I've tried's not working. So I trust that I'm going to give it, this situation, this predicament, and this problem to You, God. And that at the right time, You will give me what I need to have success over this battle that I keep having, this struggle that keeps coming up. That's kind of the way it works. He gives us back what we need when we need it. And He gives us that guidance and direction. Well, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you don't have that understanding and that ability to see the signs and receive what He's going to give you, that receptive heart, then you're going to miss out on a lot. And you're always going to stand in doubt of everything going on in your life. And at times, those fears may even paralyze you to where you cannot move forward and you cannot move back. Because out of fear, you're afraid to move at all. So we have to be careful and we have to have understanding of what is holy. The desire for God's will in our lives begins in our heart, and it follows through in our thoughts. Our thoughts regulate what we will accomplish in our lives. Our bodies respond to input from our minds. If we feed our mind with doubt and disbelief and discouragement, then that's the exact kind of day that our bodies are going to experience. The mind is a powerful thing. It can talk you into things and it can talk you out of things in an instant. But that sets the tone. When you wake up in the morning, your feet hit the floor, you determine what type of day you're going to have. The Lord's going to determine who's going to come in and out of your day. But you can determine where those victories are going to be. If you have a situation that comes up, like we did this morning, we could have had success or failure. We had failure. Maybe tomorrow we'll have success. But it's based on our decisions. It's based on our thoughts. This is what I think. This is how I reacted. And it was not good. But all of that is up to us. By starting that day with doubt and disbelief or even discouragement, being in the wrong frame of mind, being so focused on circumstances that you allow those circumstances to distract you and they lead to making the wrong decisions. All those kinds of things start with our thoughts. So if we adjust our thoughts to those filled with vision, vitality, and victory, then we can count on that kind of day. We can count on a victorious day. We can count on seeing things before they're going to happen and go bad. Thoughts, positive or negative, grow stronger when they're encouraged to be repeated. So this would explain why so many who are gloomy and gray stay in that mood, and why those who are cheery and enthusiastic continue to be. They don't let things get them down. Because anything that is positive or negative, when it is repeated, becomes a habit. And that's how your outlook changes. The word tells us in Psalms 25:21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." We wait on the Lord for all this guidance and direction. That's who we are. That's what helps us get through our day. That's what helps us achieve victories and have less defeats. To help with our thought process, we only need to have one goal in mind, one driving force behind that, and that is triumph. Triumph is known as the Holy Spirit, the helper. It helps you get through things. The Holy Spirit helps you get through problems and situations and helps you make good decisions that lead to triumph. And that in turn strengthens you. But to receive the encouragement and the guidance that we need, we must realize that God has given us a great deal. He's trusted us with many things. He's trusted us to make good decisions. He's trusted that we will turn to Him for help in making our decisions. God knows that we can do all things through His grace. So He trusts in us to trust in Him. And as we see things get accomplished in our lives, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God's will and the grace of God that's touched us, that helps us continue to trust in Him more and to seek that whole purpose for our lives, His purpose for our lives. But you have to remember that God also knows our fears. If He didn't know our fears, then He wouldn't have to assure us so much of His purpose and His presence in our life. But when we know God's purpose in our life and we know that He is with us, the fears diminish. When we become doubtful and more fearful that God has left us or that we're not receiving the right message and the right signal from God and we're unsure and we're unclear, that's when our fears increase and we start to doubt. We start to get discouraged. We stand in fear, not making any types of decisions because we don't want to make the wrong one. God knows these things. He assures us of His purpose and His presence in our lives. The word tells us in Psalms 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. That's what it's about. We don't have to live a life filled with regret, with guilt over our mistakes. God forgives us. That's told to us in the Word. He forgives us of our sins. All we have to do is ask for it. The hard part is forgiving ourselves, because that's where so many of us fail. He gives us what we need. All we have to do is put our hope and our faith and our trust in Him and realize that's what we want, is His purpose for our lives. That's who we are. That's why we're Christians. Being a Christian is not a title. It's not just knowing that or proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's more than that. It's a way of life. I know that we've all heard it said that it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that relationship involves trust and faith and counting on the other person to know that they're there for you no matter what. It's the same with God. We know that God's with us no matter what, and we trust Him. And we have faith that that's always going to be. It's always going to be that way. God will never see us forsaken or begging for bread, because that's not His purpose for our lives. When we feel hurt and alone, God assures us that He cares. When we feel angry and resentful, God provides wisdom and strength. When we feel ashamed, God grants us that forgiveness and that comfort. And when we feel anxious, God promises to supply all of our needs. I don't know about all of you guys, but I pretty much experienced all of them in the first hour of my day. But I know the God that I serve, and I know that He's with me, and He helps me get through all these things. Because what happens is, when anger and frustration come over me and clog my mind and focus me in the wrong place, it's hard to enter into this house and do the work. But I trust in God to get me through all that and to show me the purpose that He has for me, to set me back on the right track. He supplies all of my needs. He supplies all of our needs. And that helps lead us closer to Him. How does it work? How does it all happen that way? It starts with having that sensitive heart. I'm sure that we can all name at least one person who seems to listen carefully to God. One person that we know that listens to the Lord. A person whose heart is especially sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we can almost bet that that person knows what it means to be broken and bruised. And they have the scars to prove it. That sensitive heart is in touch with God. So one of the greatest things we can learn from this type of person is that through our failures, we obtain a sensitive, teachable heart. And it's the first step to casting aside our pride. It's the first step to breaking down that barrier that pride holds up in our lives. And that type of barrier keeps God from reaching us and moving in our hearts. Casting aside the pride and the control and having that sensitive, teachable spirit is what's known as godly sorrow. The Word tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:10, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And what it does is it humbles us. Having that teachable heart, the Holy Spirit enters in, shows us the error of our ways, and we humble ourselves. We go to the Lord, and we seek His forgiveness. We admit our wrongs. And it helps to teach us what not to do. And from that we gain strength. It helps us draw closer to the Lord. It helps us learn. It helps make us the person that we are today. It helps us sing the Lord's praises when we are blessed to see His mighty hand at work in our lives. And it helps us to continue to trust in Him for all things. As we see God at work, and we feel His presence, we know that His hand is upon our lives. And because for many of us, we're always going to feel so not worth that, or so unworthy of anything from the Lord, it keeps us humble. And remaining humble and teachable is key to continuing to have God's purpose in our life, to be receptive of it. So that when we are faced with the big decisions, we know that we can go to the Lord, submit our request, and receive that guidance and direction that we seek. And once we do, then we will always glorify the Lord for it. It really makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And that is who we are today. That is who we are. That is what we seek. We all seek to draw closer to the Lord and to have His will done in our lives. So, with that and all that said, I pray that He may always give us ears to hear, hearts to trust, and our minds to rest in Him. For our God is uniquely and ultimately trustworthy. And it's by His hand that these things are done. That's the message for tonight. Does anybody have anything to add? If all hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.